The epistle, the blessed Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, that is how we ought to be regarded, as Christ's servants and stewards of God's mysteries. And this is what we look for in choosing a steward. We must find one who is trustworthy. Yet for myself, I make little account of your scrutiny or of any human audit day. I'm not even at pains to scrutinize my own conduct. My conscience does not, in fact, reproach me. But that is not where my justification lies. It is the Lord's scrutiny I must undergo. You do ill, therefore, to pass judgment prematurely before the Lord's coming. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and reveal the secrets of men's hearts. Then each of us will receive his due award from God. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. It was in the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius's reign when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, when Herod was prince in Galilee, his brother Philip in the Aetolian and Trachonite region, and Lysanias and Abilene in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, that the word of God came upon John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went all over the country round Jordan, announcing a baptism whereby men repented to have their sins forgiven, as it is written in the book of the sayings of the prophet Isaiah. There is a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, straighten out his paths. Every valley is to be bridged, and every mountain and hill leveled. And the windings are to be cut straight, and the rough paths made into smooth roads, and all mankind is to see the saving power of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God in his infinite mercy and goodness has allowed us to reach the fourth week of Advent. Therefore, we are mindful of the dynamics of what we are celebrating. And it is, of course, in contrast to modern mindsets. The modern Catholic mindset and the modern Christian mindset is always self-referential and self-centered. Hence the notion of singing Happy Birthday to Jesus on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, even in parishes that are supposed to be reputed as very traditional. That's an indication of self-reference. Why do you sing Happy Birthday to a one-year-old? Because it makes the one-year-old feel good? No, because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're offering something to the child and marking the child's time. That's why so many people manage and spend their time managing emotions and trying to make sure everyone feels good. But in the end, that is always self-serving. For how can you truly, ultimately know if the person is interiorly feeling good? St. Paul reminds his hearers of the reality that it is God who judges. And if we judge ourselves, whether it be too harsh or too lenient, it really doesn't matter, because it is Christ who will judge. And therefore, he is the reference point, not ourselves. But in modern parlance, we are the reference points. Therefore, some Catholics think that somehow it makes Jesus feel better if we sing Happy Birthday to him on his birthday, as though the Christ were somehow needy, as though the Christ were somehow desperate as we are. It always comes back to the flawed human definition of love, which is making oneself feel good and feel good about the people one is with. It has nothing to do with an act of the will, where one chooses the good of the other and works diligently to make sure that person arrives at the ultimate goodness, which is God. But ultimately, love is self-serving. It's that which makes me feel good about myself and makes me feel good when I'm in the presence of the people that make me feel good, and therefore I call that love. Which, of course, couldn't be further from the truth. Man has made love a needful, desperate thing. But for the Christ, love is true and authentic because Deus Caritas est, God is love. And therefore, all authentic, true love derives from God, not from us. In fact, charity is a theological virtue, can only be acquired by virtue of God. You and I cannot acquire it ourselves, which is why so many men have abandoned the theological virtue of charity and embrace the human notion of love, which again is a needful thing and always about managing the emotions of others, because that's really what neediness is, wanting to fulfill my emotional needs. How many married couples do not live authentic charity because they're always trying to manage one another's emotions? They're always trying to make one another feel good, or they're ultimately enabling that kind of thing by going out of their way to manage the other's emotions and to emotionally manipulating each other into a very confining dynamic, which of course is not what love is. Love seeks what is the best for the other, not what is the best for the self. And yes, some people even get possessive of their spouses and they want their spouse to be there at all times because it's not out of respect for the personhood of the spouse, but the fact that the spouse's presence makes me feel good, or at the very least, halves the responsibilities that I supposedly embraced before the altar of God when I embrace self-sacrifice. But when the reality comes, I don't want to do it. I want my spouse to help me do it because I'm not willing to die to myself, because that's not what human love is. Whatever the case may be, we consider the reality of authentic love in the context of what the church affords us, especially during the upcoming Christmas festivities. It's not about wishing Christ a happy birthday as though Christ is a subject of neediness. God is complete in his perfection, and in his humanity, Christ is indeed filled with virtue. He has the fullness of all virtues and practices them in their completeness. He is not darkened by the reality of sin, the original sin of Adam and Eve. Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, is the same way, not darkened. Her emotions not out of sorts with her reason, her emotions battling her reason, and therefore her chasing around the Christ in a needful way, chasing the Christ from here and there because she wants him at home instead of out there preaching the good news of salvation to the world. Our Lady is not like that. And therefore, if we are to be full followers of Christ, we are to imitate our Lord and our Lady in every way. So let's consider our disposition towards the upcoming festivities then. First of all, we need to move away from the notions that it's all about tearing open presents on Christmas morning. In fact, Catholic families should be very prudent about such things and not communicate the wrong notions. But ultimately, what should be understood is that the church has us celebrate these festivities for a reason. It's not that God is forgotten and reminding God. It's not that, again, Jesus needs us to sing him happy birthday or some other dynamic. It is about our Lord affording us graces by virtue of our sacrament or participation in the reality of the feasts. All the feasts of Christ, all the feasts of the saints are all tied ultimately to Christ himself and his sacrifice on the cross. He was born in the manger to die on the cross. The Mass is the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ in an unbloody manner. That is why there's a double consecration of the bread and the wine separate, because for the ancient Jew, life was in the blood, and therefore the separation of the blood before the animal was sacrificed at the altar of the temple indicated the fullness of death. And then that which was burned at the altar was given to God. And then there was a participation in what remained, that which was edible, by the priest who offered the sacrifice and the individual or families who came to the temple with that very sacrifice, demonstrating the effect of the sacrifice being actualized in a personal way for them by their consuming the sacrifice after the liturgy that the Jews had practiced. That was a type, a pointing towards the fullness of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where we receive Jesus' body, blood, soul, divinity, provided we're properly disposed, and manifold graces are given to us. So therein lies the key. That is why all these celebrations are indeed surrounding the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Everything is about the Christ sacrifice, which then communicates to us what we're supposed to know and what you as married couples are supposed to be practicing. Profound self-sacrifice, profound self-giving, profound self-donation. Whenever I speak to couples about some of the difficulties they may be having, and I always warn them, don't come to me, I'm not a marriage counselor. The only thing I can do is give spiritual advice, but it always comes down to the same thing. One or both are seeking for themselves, usually their emotional needs. And this is the key to the sacrifice that love is. Lay yourself aside. Lay yourself aside and seek what is best for your spouse. Seek heaven for your spouse and for your children. Stop being consumed with your emotional needs. Stop being consumed by yourself, because that's what's happened to too many Catholics in our feminized church today. It's all about comfort and convenience and emotional stability. Hence, it makes us feel good, even in the most traditional of parishes, to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Because it's all about my emotions. It's all about how I feel, how I need to be. No room for self-sacrifice. No room for self-donation. No room for self-gift. Christ shows us, and every time we participate in the Mass, we are pledging ourselves to imitate that example. And again, especially for those of you in the sacrament of holy matrimony, where it is indeed profoundly sacrificial because it is directed towards one person, your spouse. One of the greatest mistakes that married couples make is putting their children before their spouses. You cannot have a healthy Catholic marriage if you worship your children and make them more important than your spouse. You must seek the spouse's good before your children's. And then when your children recognize and see how you're seeking willfully what is good for one another, they will imitate that and they will learn what love is. But when they see one spouse yelling at another, one spouse making it difficult to the other, one spouse being passive aggressive to the other, what do the children learn except how to be self-absorbed, how to use their emotions to manipulate each other, how ultimately to be self-centered instead of God-centered? I say this because the reality of what the feasts of Christ and the Mass itself holds for us, manifold graces that are specific indeed to the reality of the feast itself. Consider the reality of the sacrifice of Christ and how it begins at the incarnation and the feast of the Nativity. Will not Christ give to you the manifold graces during this Christmas season to be like him? To be totally vulnerable, which love requires, as we will indeed contemplate the reality of the infant Savior, how vulnerable he is. He who is fully God but fully man is indeed vulnerable as a small infant, fully aware, to be sure, of his own identity, but fully an infant as well. And therefore, we pray to him in particular during the Christmas season, because that vulnerability shows us his total love. And because he is fully God as well as fully man, he will give to us manifold graces during the Christmas festivities to live life in accord with his will. In the end, that's what Christmas is about, not giving each other gifts and not managing each other's emotions, and not trying to make each other feel good. It is about coming to the Christ and knowing what salvation can be through him and finding all the graces necessary to do away with our concupiscence, where the reality of Isaiah, as repeated by St. John the Baptist, comes true, where our pride, the hills, are leveled, where all of our unnecessary neediness, the valleys, are filled, where the crooked, sinful paths are made straight. All of this can occur for us if we merely, with our wills, participate with God's grace, which he pours forth for us, especially in these high feasts. Let us be mindful of ourselves then and be far more willful about engaging what our Lord affords us and stop trying to make all of these relationships with Christ about our own flawed, self-centered relationships of emotional manipulation and emotional neediness, love being a needful thing. Let us indeed be transformed by the grace of Christ so we recognize that love is about self-donation, self-offering, self-gift. It's about understanding and mercy and the reality that the world in which we live is not perfect. Therefore, because of the profound evil that is in it, we must be deliberate in practicing the faith. We must be deliberate in being witnesses of the power of grace. And we indeed must be instruments of God's that reflect his light in a dark world, living like Christ instead of living like the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.